following is a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And welcome on into a Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Glad to be with you. Loaded show for you here today, as always, on 1420 AM and 98.5 FM. Live streaming with the video as well on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. Wyatt Turnquist, Northern State University Wrestling Assistant Head Coach, he'll be joining us here quarter past the hour, talking all things wrestling across the state. Lots of camps being put on by him and the crew there at NSU, and also working with some of the national teams across the state of South Dakota. Wyatt, he'll be joining us here quarter past the hour. That plus, we'll take a look at the weekend that was, which was basically crickets for the most part. We have certainly reached the doldrums, to be sure, but the good news is we do still have a lot to get to today on the program on FSA. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How's your Monday going so far?
You know, it's doing all right, and, you know, it's going well. Happy to talk to Wyatt Turnquist in studio, because we've talked to a lot of wrestlers, and, you know, they're so involved with the youth and coaching at, the next level, whether it might be in college like Wyatt Turnquist. We had Tyson Lean 2 weeks ago. He's going to be coaching at Webster. Marshall Van Tassel there at Ipswich. I mean, they got it all covered there for Northern State Wrestling, so just really cool to see. So looking forward to that discussion later on, but I'm doing all right.
Very good. Glad to have you here in studio, and unfortunately, I was not able to play with you guys there Saturday, putting for paws, and I texted you afterwards. I had a little FOMO, a little fear of missing out. Sounds like you guys did okay out there.
I'll tell you what, we were 6-under. I think we were 6-under 64, and we had at least a putt for birdie on every single hole on the front nine.
That's good.
And missed, I think, everyone but one that I made on hole one, and it was a long putt. We were hitting the ball pretty well. It was a team effort. Three bad shots, one good shot, or two good shots, two bad shots. I mean, we really picked each other up. We had a lot of birdies out there. Like, I'm looking back at the scores after we're done. I'm like, man, we could have shot double-digit under birdie if we were able to make some putts. We missed a lot of putts.
Were they the long, like, 35-foot putts, or were they, like, 10-footers?
We had a mix of both.
Mm-hmm.
We had a mix of both, but we were putting for par, or we had at least, I'd say, 8 to 10 tap-in pars. I mean, it's just not taking advantage of that 8 to 12-foot range. We couldn't make them. It was frustrating. Those greens out there rolling, I don't know what it is. They're a little bit tougher. They're not from a speed perspective, from a winding perspective. Mm-hmm. Those things move. They're on the cups are on hills, downhills. I mean, it was really tough to read a green yet on Saturday. Maybe that was just me, because, you know, in the clubhouse after these group of high school kids, I think I couldn't tell. Hey, what did you guys shoot out 15 under par?
Oh,
right. Maybe it wasn't tough for them, but it was tough for me and us.
Well, every time that we're out there with Doc, of course, we're on KSDN 930 and 102.1 in the mornings. He says those greens are like a clown's mouth. You know, it's just it's going this way, it's going that way, it's gone on all over the place. So it's a tough place to putt, to be sure. And well, unless you're guys like you or me, we have no idea where we're putting, but people that are actually good, they have no problems.
I think my putting this year has gotten worse as I've played more. I don't know if that's possible for me. That's the bottom line. I can't make a putt. I played yesterday, 18. I'm playing a really good round. You know, I think I shot a 46 on the back, and I'm just going through, and that's a good round for me. I'm bogey. I had a million putts, it seemed like, for par. I missed them all. I'm like, geez, man, can you make a dang putt? Geez, now I know why these guys at the pro level and guys that take this seriously, guys and gals that take this seriously, get so upset. I get it.
I totally understand. Feel your pain. He's Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's go ahead and get to the jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen for a marvelous Monday installment of the program. Again, Wyatt Turnquist set to join us here in the next 10 minutes. But I will say, you know, the fact that I was not able to be out there, I was living vicariously through you guys. I was spending some time with the family there. I was supposed to be there golfing on Saturday, but then I realized, wait a minute, this is the same weekend as the Storybook Land Festival. I missed it the last year, and I thought to myself, I can't miss this back-to-back years with my kids. I'm away from my kids enough in the sports season,
yep,
being on the road, so I said I got to take advantage, and did that there this last Saturday. So I am chomping at the bit, or champing, as some would say, for NFL season. I'm a football fiend. You know this. It's not any breaking news around these parts. So I'm doing everything in my possible being to find new content, new Seahawks content. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, who's going to be in, who's going to be out, expectations, yada, yada, yada. And I saw a really, really cool bit on social media as Chris Long, former defensive end for the, I think, then St. Louis Rams, he actually had Gray Zabel on the program. And I got to play this great piece of audio. It's about 40 some odd seconds. And Gray Zabel is the epitome of a South Dakota guy. Heck, he's from South Dakota. It's kind of ironic, as the host of the show, Chris Long, kept on calling it Pierre, South Dakota. I was surprised Gray didn't, you know, correct him and say, hey, it is Pierre, not Pierre.
That's shocking. One time I said Pierre when I first moved out here, I got corrected immediately.
Correct.
I remember it to this day. I was on the phone with somebody. I think it was SDOT.
Sure.
Department of Transportation.
Yep.
And they're like, it's Pierre. Don't make that mistake again. I'm like, all right, sounds good. I got it from here on out.
Never again. Yeah. So he called it Pierre a couple times. Now Gray, just being the stand-up guy that he is, he did not correct him. But this is a great piece of audio. It's about 40-some-odd seconds. Chris Long asks a really great question that guys like you and me can identify with. And let's play the audio.
Top two or three situational beers.
Dude, I love this because we talk about this all the time. Like, the first one is a cold beer. Greatest thing. any given point, any given day, it's just a cold beer. The second one, an after work Friday beer. Like, work week done, you just crack one open and you have a Friday night with the boys. And then number three, it kind of splits, either a boat beer or a golf course beer. Crack open that beer, it's like, all right, I'm gonna swing a little bit easier. I'm gonna enjoy the sun a little bit more. Like, it's the best.
Number four is the Super Bowl, post-Super Bowl win beer.
Post-Super Bowl beer, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No two ways about it. That's just good stuff there from Chris Long and Gray Zabel. Doesn't he just feel like one of the guys?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he's that list is pretty top tier, too.
Yeah.
I think he's got that. I personally would have golf course beer probably, too, on my list. Mm-hmm. But that's great there from Gray Zabel. And that Chris Long podcast, I'm in and out on podcasts. His is pretty good, so give that a listen. I mean, he can joke around a little bit, and that's a good guest to have. I mean, Gray Zabel, I think by the time he's in year three, year four, year five, he's going to be on much more podcasts just because he's got a great personality about him.
100%. And he's just a down-on-the-farm South Dakotan, and we can certainly appreciate that. And the more and more I see him do interviews, the more and more you just see that personality come through. It's really cool to see. And obviously, a Super Bowl champion in his first year with the Seahawks. Pretty cool. Speaking of pretty cool, for those of you watching on the Facebook live feed, we were contemplating about doing an unboxing on the program today, but we chose not to because it was actually a really difficult unboxing on Friday. But, Cobra, what do I have in my hands right now?
So we got a hat from Mark Nelson and the crew there, SBW Mallards, we mentioned on this show how we're fans of the logo. And Coach Nelson, when we had him on last Friday or two Fridays ago, he's like, hey, I got hats to mail for you. And sometimes we get that information, we give the address, and we don't know if it's going to come or not. But Coach Nelson came through with these SBW Mallards hats. And I got to say, the logo is clean, fantastic lids. And big shout out to SBW and Mark Nelson and the crew there in Sisseton, Britton, Webster for that.
There's a reason why they won so many games this last year. Has nothing to do with the talent or the coaching. It's all about the gear. And I think this is a fantastic hat, no two ways about it. It's breathable as well. You know, you got the mesh back in the hat here too, in the back of the hat. So, I mean, this is a clean look to be sure. And this one's going right up there, or right over there, for those of you that are watching on the Facebook feed there. And we've got a lot of gear that we're starting to accumulate here on the Sports Hub. So if you want to send us some stuff, hey, care of Matt McClure, care of David Tewksbury, 3304 South Highway 281. We will feature your gear on the Sports Hub here live.
I kind of wish we had the unboxing going on right now.
I know,
because
I
it was
too.
A tough unboxing. Like, it took a while. Coach Nelson, I don't know what kind of you must have used some kind of Gorilla Tape or something like that, because I could not get the thing open on Friday.
That could have been an all-time Sports Hub moment. Just get the darn thing open. But
jeez.
Yeah, I know. It was good. It's good. It's a fantastic hat. So good stuff there from the folks there at SBW. Also of note, Minnesota Twins, they lost 2 of 3 over the weekend in Chicago. They did win the first game, so I'm thinking, hey, can you win this series? Unfortunately, not the case, but even still, the Twins have now won 8 of their last 10 series. But one thing that was kind of cool that happened this last weekend on the north side of town in Chicago at Wrigley Field, the Cubs, they honored their 10th anniversary World Championship team from 2016 is when they won the whole thing over the Cleveland Indians there in Game 7 in extra innings there. And Anthony Rizzo caught a home run in the game. What are the odds?
He's in the outfield. He's in right field just being a normal fan. He catches the ball. That was a great clip. Unbelievable. He's just out there chilling with the Cubs fans out there in right field. Ball comes his way. Of course he makes the catch, right?
Naturally,
you know, you knew he was going to. Ball hit in his direction. He was great there at first base, but I thought that was fantastic.
What are the odds of that happening? Pretty wild. And oh, by the way, he was also wearing his game-worn jersey in the crowd. How cool.
That's even better. That's good stuff. I saw that video. I think it was on Saturday, and I really, really enjoyed that. I watched that a couple times.
I think he said he had a mustard stain on one of the shoulders there, so good stuff there. And sunglasses do you no good if they're on your forehead?
I saw this.
This is unbelievable. I mean, speaking of things that are unbelievable, so this is from the weekend. Gabriel Rincones Jr. of the Philadelphia Phillies. There's a pop fly ball to him in right field. He's looking up at the sun, and of course, he's got the sunglasses on the brim of his hat. In mid-flight, he takes the sunglasses, puts them on his face, he makes the catch.
Hey, big shout-out to Gabe Rincones Jr. When I was living in Florida, he was the left fielder for the Leesburg Lightning.
Nice.
When I was calling games for the Sanford River Rats, we played them, Rincones, and the Leesburg Lightning in the 2020 Florida Collegiate Summer League Championship Series, so really cool to see Rincones there for that. But that clip is fantastic. He's got the glow. He's got the shades on his hat. And next thing you know, the ball's in the air. He puts the shades on and makes the catch, which was, if he would have missed it, it wouldn't have been as cool. But since he made the catch, I got to give him a round of applause there. Although, buddy, just wear the glasses when you're in the outfield.
Is it a style thing on the brim of the hat?
I don't know. I don't know. It's got to be a style thing. I mean, everybody's looking for the newest swag.
Mm-hmm.
And what's in now? You know, you see the arm sleeve sometimes. I mean, the thing that just kills me is the guys, when they're in the batter's box, they got the elbow guard. They got the thing for your shin. They got, like, batting gloves, and when they wrap them, it's like 3 wraps. It's like, you know, somebody walks nowadays, it takes forever to get down to first base.
Don't forget about the baking glove, you know, when you're sliding into second
base.
It's
like, I mean, how much more accessories do we need here? Take me back to the old days when you hit with no batting gloves and tape on your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Please. These guys walk nowadays, it takes them a minute and a half, 2 minutes just to get their stuff down, and then they walk over to first. That bothers me. does.
It's a great catch, though, by him in right field with the shades down. Good stuff. Coming up next around these parts, Wyatt Turnquist, Northern State Assistant Wrestling Coach. He'll join us live in studio. Sports Hub rolls on. It's a Monday installment of the program. Fox Sports Aberdeen, if you can believe it, the final full week of the month of July, as August 1st next week, Saturday. So the final full week, if you can believe it. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Pleased to be joined live in studio, Wyatt Turnquist, Northern State Wrestling. Good to see you here, sir. How are things with you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Excited to be here.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. And we're actually, ironically enough, talking some baseball off the air. And we asked you if you could play and if you're a baseball fan. And you said, yeah, you knew the thing or two around the base paths back in the day. You said you had a fun baseball story. Now, before we talk all this wrestling, which we'll certainly do, tell us the fun baseball story. What do you got up your sleeve there?
Yeah, so I was, I kind of grew up in, I wouldn't say like baseball family, but all my siblings did it. My sisters played softball, and you're growing up in Winter, South Dakota, so what else do you do in the summertime? And I liked it. I liked it a lot. I played second base, and I think this was my sixth grade year in winter. We took a church mission trip to Kansas City, and we went to a Royals game, and we're sitting like along the first baseline, really good seats. And Alex Gordon, I don't know if you guys know him. I think he was like rookie of the year this year. Hits a foul ball, hits the first chair in the row. I watch it come directly at my face. Breaks my nose. Oh, I'm bleeding all over the place. The staff at the stadium had to like take me to the back to the ER room, and I guess it's just protocol. Oh, I think I'm a wrestler. I've had a million bloody noses. Yeah. But I got all fixed up. I got patched up. I went back, finished the game, and then baseball season was like just starting up. And every time I got in the batter's box, they throw a pitch, I'm out of there. Mm-hmm. Like just terrified of the ball. And I never played baseball after that. I was so scared of the ball. And it's funny. It's funny how fat, like something so quick just ruined the trajectory of my baseball career. So.
Well, I had a similar story, not as like going extreme to a Major League Baseball game and that happening. But I remember I was playing backyard baseball with my cousin, and my dad's hitting fly balls to us. And my cousin Brian jumps in front of me, and he misses it. The ball hits me square in the nose. And I had, like, the seams of the ball, like, underneath my eye. Like, I broke my nose pretty good. This is, like, I'm in, I think, fifth or sixth grade. And it took me a while to get back into baseball. I played until I was a sophomore in high school. But I had to wear one of those masks that mm-hmm. cover your face because I had that similar reaction where I don't want to get hit in the face again. That sucked. That's brutal. But that's a... You know, something like that can certainly change your outlook on a sport. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
No judgment. No judgment right here at all. And that's why I stopped playing baseball. Same thing. I was a catcher back in the day, and I took a wild pitch off of one of my fingernails, and it took it clean off. Oh. And there was blood everywhere. I was crying like a baby, and I said, to hell with this. I'm done. I mean, some people are tough. I'm not one of those people. So what a segue here. So speaking of toughness, wrestling kind of goes hand in hand. How does a wrestler like not just be like, all right, forget that. I'm just right back to it. That was it for you, huh?
That was it. Well, it actually kind of worked out. It was funny. My pastor that took us on the trip was a huge Royals fan. So he somehow got in contact with like, I don't know if it was HR or like admission, like the ticketing booth, but I ended up getting a signed rookie card, a signed baseball, and an apology letter from Alex Gordon, which I ended up selling that baseball to my pastor like a few years later to go to a big wrestling tournament, like to fundraise. So it's funny.
You got to keep that apology letter though forever.
Yeah.
That's big. Wyatt Turnquist joins us live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So enough baseball talk. You're a wrestling guy at heart. You've had a pretty busy summer. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing.
Yeah, I guess I'll preface with, like, if you would have told me 10 years ago when I'm 16 years old that this is what I would be doing, I would want to believe you, but it would seem kind of surreal just to be at this point. I guess it kind of all starts back to April of this year. Josh and I took a group of guys out to the U.S. Open in Las Vegas to wrestle, and I actually ended up wrestling in that tournament as well. So that was really cool just to train alongside the guys that I'm their coach, and I was a lot of their teammates too. But that kind of just segued me into a really, really busy summer. Right as soon as we got back from that, it was starting to train for the U23 Nationals in Ohio. That's our guys. We took 9 guys out there. And then from that point on, I think I've been in Aberdeen like 6 days this whole summer. I got back on a flight. I think we landed in Watertown at like 10 p.m. I had a flight five and a half hours away, or a camp 5.5 hours away the next day at 8 a.m. So I got home at 3:30 in the morning, did the camp at 8, and I was gone for like 22 days straight after that. I did 6 days of camp. I took the 16U national team out to Utah, had to drive them there and back, coached them for a few days, got back, had 2 more days of camp, hosted our Northern State camps here, and then I just got back from a 2-week tournament up in Fargo, North Dakota, which is actually the biggest tournament in the world as far as numbers go. So very busy summer, haven't really gotten to breathe yet, but super grateful for it.
Did you know coming into this summer that it was going to be that busy, or did it catch you by surprise at all?
It's funny because every year, like December rolls around, I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing really any camps this summer. I kind of just want to chill out. And then every summer outdoes the last one. So I kind of expected it to be wild. And now, like with the position I'm in at Northern, you kind of have to be at these things no matter what. So doing it from the coaching side is a little more fun and rewarding, I think, than just going there recruiting. You know, you get to be in the kids' corners. You get to train with them for the week. So expected, yes. As intense as the summer was, I don't know if I would say so or not.
Our guest in studio is Wyatt Turnquist here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So this is like your off day. It's just hanging out on the radio with us,
yeah.
Ironically enough. So do you, I don't know if sparring is the right word to describe it, but do you kind of roll around with those guys in terms of, you know, getting these guys ready to go? And do you still have your fastball? I mean, not to go back to baseball, but do you still have your fastball a little bit?
Yeah, I try to wrestle as much as I can. Like I said, I just competed at the toughest tournament in America in April against some of the best guys in the country. For me, I don't ever want to lose that itch, that competitive nature in me. I'll wrestle. I don't really say no to anyone that wants to wrestle, so I try to get on the mat multiple times a week still, and I plan to compete for as long as I can. I'm still relatively young right now, I guess in wrestling years, maybe not, but I love wrestling. It's my favorite thing to do, so doesn't make sense to me to say no to guys that want to.
You mentioned you competed there. Was that the first time in a while that you did? Obviously, you're staying in shape throughout the winter and throughout the year, but was that the first time that you really competed in quite some time or no?
Yeah. It was a full calendar year since I had last competed, which was actually at that same tournament. But when you get post-collegiate, I guess there's not really a ton of opportunities for a guy like me to go out and wrestle. They're like implementing some professional wrestling leagues and stuff, but I'm kind of in the middle ground where like you're not one of the superstars, but you also don't want to go to the old timers league and wrestle those kind of matches. So that was my first time in a year, and honestly it was the most fun I've ever had, just to have the guys that I coach in my corner like coaching me and training with them was awesome.
Did you ever think about going into MMA at all or no?
No, not really. I love it. I love watching it. I get that question a lot. One of my best friends does it, and he's obviously really good at it, and I've seen firsthand like what it takes, and it's just, I don't know if I'm willing to get punched in the face. I quit baseball because I got hit in the face by a foul ball. Probably wouldn't take a right hook too well either.
So I'm curious, was that ever a thought in the back of your head, you know, if I'm going to still compete at a high level to get into MMA? You said it was a pretty quick decision to not, but is it wild to see a lot of your former teammates get into that sport? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that crazy. You have to be crazy to be locked in a cage like it's our modern day gladiators.
Yeah.
But no, I don't, not for me. I don't think it's for me. I have the utmost respect for anybody that wants to go do it. And I think like having been a college wrestler for 6 years, you got to be a little crazy to do that too. But then there's another level of crazy that I don't think I have.
I'm curious, you know, you mentioned that you're coaching a lot of these guys that were your former teammates. Was that a tough adjustment for you being teammate to now coach?
Yes and no. I think there's a lot of times, right, where you're having not locker room talks, but you want to join in on their conversations and stuff, and you know, like, you probably shouldn't. But also I feel like having been their teammate, I already had their trust, so it was really easy to just jump headfirst in. And, you know, I think last year, like, trial year a little bit, I think I got a lot of respect from those athletes, and it was a super cool experience to be in it with them and then be on the outside helping them with my experience, or using my experience to help them, was awesome. I think it's a lot better than having to go somewhere where I don't know the kids. You know, like day one is me introducing them. Like day one for me was like, all right, let's just keep doing what we've been doing. So it was really cool.
So you talk about a decade ago, if somebody would have told you you're going to do X, Y, Z, did you always want to get into the coaching side of things? Was that a thought in the back of your mind, or was that Josh saying to you, you know, hey, you know, you're still in great shape, you're still around, how'd you like to join us?
Yeah, I always knew. I think on a more like a funnier note, I don't really have any other skills outside of this stuff. So it was kind of all my eggs in one basket. But just for it to work out, to be able to stay at the place where I wrestled for 6 years, and I've found a group of people in Aberdeen that I call my family, for all of it to line up like that, was really special. I don't take it for granted. Every day I drive to the Barnett Center in the morning at 6 a.m. I'm like, it could be a lot worse. So, yeah, I always knew I was going to coach. I didn't think it would work out like it did as fast as it did, but I'm super grateful for it.
You mentioned the family atmosphere, and we talk to wrestlers a lot, and they talk a lot about that chemistry and family atmosphere. Did that take a while for you to maybe find that with the wrestling team when you were wrestling? And if not, when did that happen for you?
Yeah, no, I think it was pretty instant. Like, you step foot on campus, like, it's cliche to say, like, oh, it feels like home, and that's what everyone says. But it really did. From the moment I stepped foot on campus, it was like, Rocky Burkett was my head coach. He basically told us, like, anything you need while you're here is going to be taken care of for you, and that's not a lie. From whether you have car troubles and you got to call one of our guys, or you're struggling mentally, like, there's so many people here that will help you along and that want to help you. They don't need to help you. They want to help you. They want to see you be successful. And I don't think it's like that a lot of other places. I felt that right away. I still feel it today. Like I said, the car troubles thing, I called some of our supporters, I guess, like a month ago and told them I was having some car issues. 20 minutes later, I'm in their parking lot. They're fixing my car for me. So it's just a really special place that I'm super grateful for.
Do you share those stories with other coaches across the country and people that are your age, and you say, hey, you know, this went wrong in my personal life and someone's there to help me out? And they're like, whoa, like, that's the standard out at Northern. Do you have those conversations?
Yes. I think from the outside looking in, everybody thinks they kind of have that support in their programs, and I'm sure a lot do. But I think it's pretty evident if you just look at the history of Northern State Wrestling in the last 12, 13 years. They go from not even hardly having a program to where we're at now. That doesn't really just happen with strong administration and good coaching, right? It takes a whole community. And I think for people that have been familiar with the program in the last 15 years, you have to look and just know that something is going really well here from the community for things to happen the way they have.
So what are you looking for when you go to these wrestling camps? Is there something specific that you're doing with that? And or is there something that you're looking for from wrestlers? I mean, are you in much into the recruiting side of things as well, or no?
Yeah, very heavily into the recruiting stuff. That's not why I do the camps. Honestly, just really love wrestling, and I want to give away as much as I can from the aspect of knowledge. And, like, I remember going to wrestling camps as a kid and looking at the people that were doing them, and they were like superstars to me. And it's kind of crazy now to be that person for some of these kids. And I think the reason I go and do it is just to hopefully give them a thing or two that'll help propel them forward. I know, like, you can't reinvent the wheel with a kid that you have 12 hours with over the course of a week, but if you can give them a piece of advice or a piece of technique that'll help them in the long run, then, like, it's worth it to me to have those sleepless nights, endless windshield time. Like, I'll do that to help a kid that I may never see again.
You have time for a second segment here?
Yeah.
All right, more with Wyatt Turnquist after this. You're listening to the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub rocks and rolls next with Colin Cowherd at the top of the hour, but we've got another segment with Wyatt Turnquist on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Again, thanks for taking some time and joining us here live in studio. I tell you what, we are talking wrestling. We're talking some baseball off the air. I'm curious about your genesis of wrestling. Maybe we've asked you this before, maybe we haven't, but, you know, for a guy from Winter, kind of a small town, to really kind of get into a great sport like wrestling is, what was your genesis in the sport of wrestling?
Yeah, I have an older brother. He wrestled. He's a couple years older than me, and I've told this story several times. I was like 2 years old the first time I stepped into a wrestling room, I think, and I was just begging my mom to let me go, cut me loose. And she wouldn't do it. And eventually one day, I think it was like a week or two after my third birthday, she finally just said, all right, go do it. And stuck to it instantly. You know, I wasn't very successful right away. I wasn't the best wrestler on my high school team, but I just really fell in love with the sport and what it kind of instilled in me. And here I am 23 years later, still doing it. So it was pretty cool to have that story from the beginning. And it wasn't always easy for me, right? I lost a lot and took some lumps, and it honestly didn't even really end the way I thought it would. But just so many special things through the sport that keep me waking up every day and trying my best to get better at it still.
What amazes me about the sport is the discipline with it. Cutting weight, I think, is just incredible. You know, the methods that people use. And did it take you a while to generate that discipline, you know, as the sport? You know, whether you mentioned it when you were two or three, you started wrestling, but I'm sure when you started taking it a little bit more seriously, discipline had a big part of, you know, the reason you had a lot of success.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's very rare for someone to be successful in the sport without discipline. And I had to find what that looked like for me. I think probably the most prevalent thing, and I haven't really been on a show or anything and talked since my college career was over, but the weight cutting in college for me was probably the most difficult thing I dealt with. I cut a lot of weight to make 149. And in my last season, I ate the same exact supper every night for 6 months straight. And like to look back on that now is like, what was wrong with me, you know? but just things like that that you don't ever really forget. And now, like, I have no reason to want to stay healthy and stuff. But if I eat two bad meals in a row, I'm like, all right, it's time to figure it back out. So, yeah, it never really leaves you. I think you just kind of trade one competitive thing you're doing for another. So now I'm into all kinds of different things, trying to find new hobbies. But that discipline piece never really leaves.
Wyatt Turnquist is our guest here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and I'm going to ask a question, and don't take this the wrong way, but is that something that needs to, in your opinion, change about the sport of wrestling, or is it just a really good thing to keep you disciplined, is that weight cutting? Because I've heard it both ways. Some people say you're forcing an 11-year-old kid to cut X amount of pounds to, well, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I don't think kids should ever cut weight. I did as a kid, and I can say with 100% confidence that it wasn't really productive to any form of getting better at the sport. I think as you progress through the sport and you're going to some of the high-level high school tournaments or you get into college, then it's going to happen. I don't think it needs to be as extreme as people think it does. You should never starve yourself. You should not drink water, right? But there's pieces and stuff that you can learn to make it easier for you, and I don't think a lot of kids know that. They think they have to starve themselves and wear 4 sweatshirts to practice and all this stuff. It's hard to avoid, but there are a lot of things you can do to make it easier on yourself, and it took me a long time to figure that out myself. So I guess long answer, no, don't cut weight if you don't have to. Short answer, if you have to, there are some really good ways to go about it too.
So what was that meal you ate for 6 straight months?
It was a cup of rice, 8 ounces of elk burger, jalapenos, pickles, and hot sauce every night for 6 months.
It doesn't sound too bad, to be honest with you.
When did you start to get sick of that?
Like 2 weeks in, probably. No, it was I would mix it up too. Like, I would use different sauces here or there, but I got sick of it pretty early. But I knew I had to do it if I wanted to make the weight without any struggles. It was just a sacrifice I had to make. So
it seems to me that you got a competitive edge about you. You know, you like to compete. You know, was that when your college career was done? Obviously, you got into coaching right away, but I'm sure you were still trying to search for that competitiveness, and obviously you found that. Did that take a little bit of adjusting for you?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think it's kind of crazy how we just, like, I said this to someone last week, like, we spend however many years of our lives trying to be the ultimate competitor, and then one day it's just gone. Mm-hmm. And like, they don't really, nobody really trains you with the skills on how to deal with that. And for me, it took a long time to just like want to get back in a wrestling room and find something that was like as meaningful as wrestling was to me. But now I've just like anything I can do that's a little bit of a competition, I want to do it. Like we started running quite a bit, and Josh and I are both on Strava, so we can see, like, I see he's running, I'm going to go run. Like, picked up golf, just, like, a lot of competitive habits that wrestling kind of, I shielded myself from just because I wanted to be so good at wrestling. And at the end of the day, I just, like, now I've learned wrestling's really not that serious. It's just a fun game, but the competitive nature will never go away in me. Whatever I'm doing, I'm going to try to be the best at it.
Well, there's a reason why you were one of the best in the business, for sure. Wyatt Turnquist here in studio on FSA. Now, I'm curious, not to take this to a dark place, but sometimes when college athletes, they graduate, they're looking for that find, they're looking for that, for lack of a better term, fix to get really back into, whether it's athletics or something else that's really competitive. Do you give advice, or what advice would you give to a person that's just graduating, whether that's wrestling or basketball or whatever sport that is, to find a way to compete mentally, I guess, against maybe themselves?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And honestly, like, I love having these kinds of conversations. I think it's really important to like help people along the way. And it doesn't have to be like, okay, here, your career is over, here's what you do now. I think you can prepare people for it. And something we talk about at Northern with our guys a lot is purpose. Like, your purpose as a wrestler is not to win wrestling matches. It's not to be the best you can be, right? It's far deeper than that, and you can use, like, wrestling or basketball or whatever your sport is, you can use that as a vehicle to be the type of person you want to be. And just because you lose a wrestling match and your career is over doesn't mean you can't be the person you want to be. So that's something we talk about a lot, is, like, it's just something we get to do. It's not who we are, and when it's over, like, we can dread on the fact that it didn't go our way, or we can take our experiences and use them to be the type of people we want to be. And for me now, like, that's easy concept to wrap my head around, but if we're sitting in this studio 2 years ago after my career is over, I'd look at you like you're crazy if you said that to me. But it is really, like, at the end of the day, you just have to realize it's just a game. It's not that serious. There's so many better things in life than sports, and once you get to experience those, then you'll see for yourself that it really was just about the people you met and the memories you made. And you're going to forget getting your hand raised all those times, and the memories are what will last. So
we had Tyson Lean live in studio. I asked him a similar question, and I compared it to golf, kind of. But, you know, I feel like in wrestling, you're striving for perfection, weight, a match, you know, everything that goes into it. In golf, it's kind of like you're striving for a perfect shot every time, and it's not always going to happen. Is that difficult to navigate in wrestling?
Yeah, I think wrestlers are just stubborn, hard-headed people anyways, right? So they're going to try to be perfect all the time. And, like, I can think of a lot of conversations I had last year, or even I got a younger brother that's living up here training right now. I had a conversation with him just a week ago. I was like, I think you're under the impression that it's supposed to be easy and it's all supposed to be perfect, and that just couldn't be any further from the truth, right? Like, I get it. I was probably harder on myself than anybody ever, but no, I think when you, it's not necessarily like dropping your standards, but when you just understand that it's all a learning process and like perfection's never going to happen, then I think you're going to have a lot more fun with the whole experience.
You're a pretty mature dude. Have you always been kind of like this? I'm guessing you're 24, 25, something like that. Have you always been kind of this wise man who's, you know, not 46 or 47? I feel like you're like a 46, 47-year-old guy.
No, I don't think so. I think just like, having my career end the way it did, I did a lot of like reflecting and I guess you could say soul searching on what I think's important to me about the sport. Like, obviously I don't have a ton of trophies or stuff to show for my career, but just thinking about the way it went and how I can use that experience to help these guys along is the most important thing to me now. So yeah, no, I wouldn't say it's maturity. I think it's just like experiences that I've had that I can use to help all the people around me now.
What do you think about, you know, all these coaches that are former Wolves? You know, there's a lot of Wolves out there, you know, coaching wrestling. Ipswich, Webster, Redfield, you at Northern State still. I mean, a lot of Wolves coaching at the youth level, the high school level. Why do you think that is? Like, a lot of these guys are wrestling, and now they're getting into the coaching side of things, A, and B, how cool is it to see a lot of your former teammates out there coaching?
It's amazing, man. I think I got to give, like, a lot of credit to Coach Rocky Burkett. Like, he was the man. You know, he revived this program and left all of the guys that he coached with an immense number of skills to go out and lead young kids, young athletes. And to see that kind of stem out into our northeastern South Dakota community is amazing. And I don't think if anybody takes the job back in 2014, I don't think that's probably the case. But Rocky Burkitt was the man for the job. He believed in every one of the athletes that he brought in. He instilled a love of wrestling in them that you're seeing today all throughout the area. So it's really cool. And I'm super pumped. Like, I got a lot of pride being a Northern State Wolf, and seeing all those guys go back and give back to the wrestling community is so cool.
And staying local within that, too, mm-hmm. is also a really neat deal. Maybe final one before we get you out of here, unless Matt's got one or two more. We talked about this off the air about multi-sport athletes. When you are going to recruit a future Northern State Wolf, do you kind of look back and you're like, okay, this guy just specialized in this. Maybe I'm not so interested in him. Can you talk about the importance of being a multi-sport athlete? Because we do it all the time on this show. We're big on it.
Yeah, I think it's great to play as many sports as you can when you're younger. I think, A, like, just from a social development, like to get friends that you probably wouldn't know outside of, you know, if you're just wrestling all day, every day, you're not going to make any friends outside of that. But also just learning new skills, becoming a good athlete is going to help you really, really immensely later on down the road. So I would encourage everyone to play as many sports as they can. I think it's really fun for me, like when we go on recruiting trips and we go watch like potential student athletes playing sports that aren't wrestling. Like Josh and I drove to Rochester, Minnesota and back in a day to watch a kid play football. Like, it was not a good football game, but it was fun to watch. We went to soccer games, we went to track meets, all these things, and like, it's really cool just to see kids stepping outside of what we know them as and see what kind of leaders they are on a different playing field is really cool. So yeah, I think I'm a sports fan. I think if you're a good athlete and you're from a small town where you're going to get playing time, it makes a lot of sense to go do those sports.
100%. Well, thanks again for taking some time out of your schedule. And oh, Matt's got one more.
What's your next tattoo going to be? You got a lot of them.
I'm working on finishing a leg sleeve. So okay. We'll probably fill in some space, and I'll probably have 100 different ideas by that time that happens. So got to make some more money before you can.
Was it you got your first, and now, like, the thing that is like, you get one and now you just want to have a—
do you guys have any?
I got none.
Yeah, you'll know if you get one, you want to get a bunch.
Is that true? Okay.
Yeah, after my second one, I said that was it, and that was like 22 ago, so
see. But who's counting? Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Wyatt Turnquist here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll wrap up the Hub after this.
Right now.
Rocking and rolling for a Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to Wyatt Turnquist for taking some time out of his schedule to join us here on FSA. And we were talking about it off the air. There's something about these Northern State wrestlers, and just wrestlers in general. They're incredibly eloquent. They're well-spoken. They're incredibly mature. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, they could talk about how they feel. I think it's very telling about what that program is right now. I mean, he talked about it, Coach Burkitt, in 2014, what they've been able to instill, the culture. And these guys, they've learned the way, and now they're teaching the youth. I think it's just phenomenal. And all these guys we've had from Northern State Wrestling, it seems like over the past year, and we've had a good amount of athletes on. They speak from the heart, and that's what I really like about them.
And if you could, give this episode a like and a share. Helps out with the algorithm, helps get the word out about this program at Northern State, helps get the word out about these student athletes and coaching. Everything that you could ask for in an episode with a young man like that, we just had it. So give this a like, a comment, and a share. Helps out with the algorithm. We're back at it tomorrow on FSA.